We read God's Word tonight from Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, we'll read the first 9 verses of this chapter. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The text that I call to your attention is the very first verse of this chapter. Isaiah 11 verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Beloved people of God, in the chapter just preceding the text that we consider tonight, chapter 10, God, through the prophet Isaiah, assures the nation of Israel that she will not be destroyed. Israel was threatened with destruction. Especially Isaiah and the people of Israel are thinking of the threat that was faced because of the nation of Assyria. And in chapter 10, the prophet Isaiah speaks of Assyria in terms of a figure. He speaks of Assyria as an axe. He speaks of Assyria as a saw. And those two figures speak of Assyria as tools or instruments used to cut down a tree. And in chapter 10, Israel is the tree. The nation of Israel is the tree that Assyria is attacking as an axe or as a saw, threatening to cut down the nation of Israel. God used Assyria to chasten Israel. But Israel is assured that the nation will not be destroyed. In chapter 10, God makes plain, Assyria is my instrument that I'm going to use to chasten you, Israel. But Assyria will not destroy you. Nevertheless, we come to this chapter, chapter 11, verse 1, and we see that from an outward point of view, Assyria seems to have been successful in destroying Israel. The text that we consider tonight speaks of a stump. Israel is cut down so that there is nothing left but this stump of dead wood. Israel's royal line, the line of Jesus Christ, is reduced to this stump of dead wood. And that represents the nation, you understand. As this royal line goes, so goes the nation of Israel. If this royal line flourishes and prospers, so does the nation of Israel. But when this royal line is reduced to a stump, when the king of the nation is reduced to dead wood, the nation is reduced to a stump too. Israel needs comfort. And what is her comfort? Well, the first comfort comes, as I said, in chapter 10. The comfort is this. As mighty as Assyria and the enemies of Israel might seem, they are nothing but instruments in the hand of God. As fearful as an axe may seem to a tree or a saw may seem to a tree, God says to Israel, that's my instrument. I control Assyria. And I will destroy Assyria so that Israel is not destroyed. Israel's chastened. Oh, severely chastened. But Israel is not destroyed. Because the first comfort is that God is sovereign over her enemies. But the second comfort is the comfort that we have here in the text. The comfort is that the tree will not be destroyed. The tree will not die. But the tree will live. The tree will be given life from God. There will be a rod, a shoot, a branch that comes out of this dead stump. And that branch will grow. That branch will produce another tree more glorious than the first tree that is cut down. God comforts Israel. And He comforts the church by giving the promise that from this dead stump, a stem, a living shoot, a living branch will come forth. And so we consider tonight this promise, the promise of the living branch out of a dead stump. We notice in the first place the dead stump. Secondly, the living branch. And then thirdly, the certain promise. In the text, Isaiah prophesies of a rod or a branch coming forth from the stem or stump of Jesse. And there shall come forth a rod, that is a branch or a shoot, out of the stem or the stump of Jesse. The figure that Isaiah speaks of here is very easy for us to understand. He speaks of a stump. A stump which once was a tree. There was a healthy tree. A flourishing tree. A tree that was living and vibrant. A tree that during the springtime would bring forth buds, and during the summertime would bring forth many leaves. A tree filled with branches, a glorious tree, a tree that seemed to have healthy, firm roots. That tree is now cut down. That's the stump. That tree is cut down to the ground. All the glory of that tree is forgotten. All that you see now is a dead hunk of wood that's still in the ground. And understand that Isaiah is speaking about a dead stump. The stump of Jesse is not like some of those stumps that you see sometimes that when it's cut down doesn't give up so quickly, and out of that stump there will grow shoots. No, this stump is dead. This stump is cut right down to the ground. There's no life in it. What do you do? What do you do with the dead stump? What we do with dead stumps is we pull them out of the ground and we grind them up or we burn them. This is the picture that Isaiah places before us tonight. A dead piece of wood. Stump is all that is left. Now we ask the question, what does this stump represent? What is this stump picturing for Israel and for us? And broadly speaking, Isaiah is speaking about the condition of the entire nation of Israel. Israel is reduced to a stump by her enemies. Israel was once a glorious tree. No doubt Isaiah and all of the people think about the great reigns of David and of Solomon. And we saw that last week too. During that time, this vine, this tree that God planted and that God saved and that God caused to grow and to flourish during the time of David and Solomon, it was a glorious tree. And no doubt the people looked at David and Solomon and said, this is what God promised. This is what He promised Eve in the garden. This is what He promised Abraham, that we were going to have a king who would save us and give us rest. But how disappointed the people perhaps were. David wasn't the king, and neither was Solomon, that would give to the people glorious eternal rest. For soon after Solomon's reign, this tree, this strong, mighty tree of Israel, was cut in two by the division of the kingdom when 10 tribes, the northern tribes, left Judah and went to establish their own kingdom. What was once one glorious tree is now two trees. But Isaiah sees into the future. Isaiah sees into the future when the 10 tribes of the kingdom of Israel will be completely cut down. He sees into the future when the nation of Assyria will come. The nation of Assyria will take captive the children of Israel and remove them from the land of Canaan. That's what a stump represents. Israel is dead. She no longer exists as a nation. But Isaiah sees more than that. He speaks here in the text of Jesse. Jesse is from the tribe of Judah. Isaiah is seeing even the end of the nation of Judah. For a long time, Judah appears to be more glorious than Israel. Perhaps there's no hope for Israel, but the people look at Judah and say, maybe there's hope for this nation, the kingdom of Judah. What does Isaiah see? He sees the axe. Only this time it's not Assyria. The axe this time is Babylon. Babylon coming against Israel and cutting, or against Judah and cutting Judah down. Isaiah sees that last king, that last son of David, Zedekiah, who will reign, sit on the throne of David. He sees him taken into captivity and the nation of Judah with him. And Judah is reduced to a stump. But more narrowly, this dead stump represents not only the nations of Israel and Judah, but also the royal line of David. Jesse is spoken of in the text. Jesse is spoken of because he is the father of David. And that means that the text is now pointing to that line that God established and that God promised to the people would be the line out of which Christ would come. Here's the line. Look at the line of David and know that your Savior's coming through this line. That line represented all the hope, all the life of Israel. If that line is cut down, the Messiah cannot be born, and the hope of Israel and Judah perishes. And Isaiah sees, he sees in his prophetic perspective, in the word God has given to him, that's what's going to happen. Not only are Israel and Judah going to be cut down as nations, but the hope of Israel and Judah, which is that line of David, will be cut down, be nothing but a stump. Isaiah sees many years when there won't be a king in Israel. Over 400 years. Isaiah sees when Israel will be the plaything of the nations. Israel will serve Nebuchadnezzar's. Israel will serve kings with names like Artaxerxes and Cyrus. Israel will be the little nation subdued by the Caesar and by the wicked King Herod. Israel, as far as worldly power is concerned, is nothing. Isaiah sees that. And perhaps Isaiah even sees into the future the line of David ending with the Virgin Mary. And as far as producing the Messiah is concerned, a virgin is as good as a dead stump, isn't she? As far as man is concerned, what hope is there of a virgin producing the promised child, the promised king? She is as good as a dead stump. And so the line of David, it seems, ends in failure. The line of David in the time of the Virgin Mary is almost forgotten. And that's probably why Isaiah here uses Jesse, refers to Jesse and not to David. Because when we think of David, we think of this mighty king. But who was Jesse? He was a shepherd in Bethlehem that no one knew about and no one cared about. And that's, in the end, what would happen to the line of David. It would become insignificant. That dead stump represents Israel and Judah and the royal line. That dead stump tonight, we must see, also represents the church of Jesus Christ. Israel and Judah were types of the church in the Old Testament. They were pictures of the church. And we ask ourselves tonight, we must apply this text and ask ourselves, what does this stump represent for us? And applying it to ourselves, we see, first of all, that this is exactly what the world wants to make of the Church of Jesus Christ. The world wants the Church of Jesus Christ to be reduced to a dead stump. We live in a time, it is true, of peace in our land. We live in a time when we have relative freedom from persecution. But we must remember at this time that as we look for the birth of Jesus Christ, this is why we need Him to come. Because our enemies are many and they are mighty and they do want to destroy us. The Assyrians and the Babylonians, they are typical, are they not? Pictures, are they not, of the people of the world in which we live? We know, don't we, that Christ is hated. His church is hated in this world in which we live. And don't we see that even now at Christmas time? When the name of Christ is so hated that during this holiday season, people don't even want to use His name. You may not say, Blessed Christmas or Merry Christmas. You must say, Happy Holidays. Because this world hates Christ. This world wants to get rid of the name of Christ, wants to get rid of the Church of Christ. Because to be rid of Christ, the world must get rid of the church too. And even though what we see of the church right now may appear to be more than a stump, and thank God we may say that, we look at the Reformed church world, we don't see perhaps a great flourishing tree. There's only a remnant. The church is only a remnant now already in the world. But we look at the Reformed church world, we look at our own denomination, and we see a healthy tree. We see a denomination that is committed to the Lord God and to His Word. But this kind of a passage makes us look into the future. And what do we see? We see the coming of the anti-Christian kingdom. And when the Antichrist shall come, when he shall dominate the world. This is what he will attempt to do to the church. To reduce her to a dead stump. And so we are reminded of the antithesis by this passage. The world as an axe wants to cut us down. Secondly, in applying this to ourselves, we are reminded of our weakness. Are we not? The standing characteristic of this stump is that it is dead. There's no life in it. And it's dead because the stump didn't have, the tree didn't have the power to withstand the axe and the saw. Israel and Judah did not have the power to stand up to Assyria and Babylon. Israel was no match for Assyria. Judah was no match for Babylon or for Rome. And that's true of the church today, too. We're no match for this world. And that's why we don't trust and must not trust in the church for our salvation, for the church in and of herself. She's weak. She's hopeless. She's hopeless. This is because the members of the church are dead by nature in sin. We look at Israel and we look at Judah and we see the cause of her downfall. We must not merely say it was because of her enemies. They cut her down. And when we look at Israel and Judah and see that those nations lost their glory, we must not say it's because of her enemies. We must point to the people themselves and say they lost their glory and they were cut down because of their sin. Their sin. Solomon and David, they were sinful even though they were children of God. But many of their sons who sat upon the throne after them were evil. And the nations fell into sin too. And we must understand, Israel and Judah were not cut down. They were not cut down by Assyria and Babylon. But the Lord God says, I hold the axe and I hold the saw. I cut down Israel and Judah. Why? Because when God looked at those nations, He didn't see any righteousness in those people. He saw sin. He saw evil. And Israel and Judah deserved to be cut down. Well, this is true of us too. We are dead in sin. When you sin, do you blame the world? When you sin, do you say it's because of all of the evil around me, all of the temptation in this society, all of the wickedness of this present age? No. No, we sin because we are dead wood. We are dead in sin. We are as dead stumps. And therefore, then we see that this stump represents the hopelessness of our situation. You have a dead stump in your yard. You remember what you do with it? You don't leave it there. You pull it out by its roots. You destroy that stump. Well, now Jehovah God looks at Israel and Judah here in the text. And this is what he sees. A dead stump. What is God now going to do with that stump? Well, we know what we would do. Pull it out. Destroy it. And God says to the people of Israel, I didn't forget my promise. I promised you that a son of David would come. He would be the king and he would save you. God says here in the text to the people of God, I see a dead stump. But I am going to raise a living shoot out of that stump. What a joyful promise this is, and what a joyful picture this is. Imagine now in your minds the winter. Everything is brown. Everything is dead. Not like it is here. You look outside now. Even though we are well into December, you'll see green grass outside. But imagine that you are perhaps up north, way up north, where it's cold and where in the wintertime everything is dead. There's not a leaf on the tree. There's not a stitch of green grass. Everything is brown. And then in the springtime, there comes the signs of life, the green buds, the green grass, signs of life, a joyful time. That's what God speaks of. He's speaking to a people who are in the midst of a world where there is death all around them, where there is no life. He's speaking to a church that even has come to the point now where she is hopeless. And he says, I will plant a shoot. I will plant life in the midst of this dead world and in the midst of this dead church. There will come forth a shoot. There will come forth a branch. How beautiful that shoot is. That's Jesus Christ. This branch is life. And Jesus Christ came into this world as the way, the truth, and the life. He is man. He is man who is like us. And as a man, he also came to die. But there's a great difference between him and that dead stump and all of his people. All of his people are destined to die. All of his people must die. But not this shoot, not this branch. Death has no power over him. Death has no hold over him because he has no sin. And the reason for death is sin. But this one, this living branch, has no sin in him. The only reason he dies is because of the sin of his people. But he's not only a man. He's life. He's life because he is God too. God who cannot die. As we think about this branch, this wonderful branch that comes forth from this stump, we see the Son of God who comes in the flesh. And he is life. He is living. Because he is God who cannot die, when he in his human nature does go down to the grave and does descend into death, death cannot hold this one. Death cannot take hold of this man, this branch, this one who is God in man and say, you're my prisoner. No, as the Apostle Peter says in Acts chapter 2, it's not possible. It is not possible for death to hold this Jesus Christ, because he is God and he is man. And so when he died, he had the power to take his life back again. He is the living branch. And that he, in contrast to the stump, is the living branch, is, of course, indicated by the second half of the verse. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. This stump that is dead cannot grow. As all stumps, this stump will remain the same. There will be no change. God says, I am going to plant in the middle of that stump. And I am going to bring forth a branch that is living and will grow. Well, what's the hope of that living branch for that tree that was cut down for the nation of Israel and Judah and for the church? The fact that Isaiah in the text says God will cause that shoot to grow out of the stump means the stump is saved. If God would say, I'm going to throw the stump away and I'm going to plant the shoot somewhere else, then the stump would be without hope. But God says to a people who have nothing to expect but death and destruction, God says to them, here's your hope. I'm going to bring you out of death. I'm going to bring you to life. I'm going to do it through this branch that I plant in your midst. The hope for the people of Israel and Judah and for the church is that this branch will also be the root. That's implied in the text. That's not stated explicitly in the text, but we know every single plant, every branch must have a root from which it draws its life, from which it draws nutrients. Well, when God says that this branch is planted in the stump of Jesse, this branch cannot use the stump or its roots for life because the stump is dead. That means that this branch becomes the root. And the Bible even says that about Jesus Christ. In Revelation 22, verse 16, Jesus says to the Apostle John, I am the root and the offspring of Jesse. Now, why is that important? Because this root is the source of the life of the church. What we have here is this, God explaining how the church will be started and how the church will grow. I am going to plant a little shoot. That's Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ, who has life in himself, is going to give life to his people. And he's going to grow. And what grows with him? The church. The church, the people of God. This branch will grow into be a beautiful church and will save the church. Oh, in order to do that, the church needs to be saved from her enemies. She needs to be delivered from the Assyrians and the Babylons and the people of this world. She needs to be delivered from the devil. She needs to be delivered from sin. This is the hope of the people of God. This living branch who comes to die for his people's sins and through his death on the cross to conquer the devil. He is the hope of delivering his people from death. But he's also the hope, and that's what Isaiah is emphasizing, of the life of his church. He came to die. He came to rise again and through his resurrection to give to his people life. And as he gives his people life, he's building a beautiful tree. And that tree, and this is the hope Isaiah gives to the people of God in the Old Testament, that tree that comes in the place of that old tree that was cut down, it'll be far more glorious and beautiful than the tree that was cut down. For the tree that grew and that seemed so glorious in the Old Testament under David and Solomon was a tree limited to Israel. But here Isaiah is saying to the people, there's going to come a time when the tree is going to include the Gentiles from every nation, tribe, and tongue. And we see it, don't we? What a glorious tree. Jesus Christ, the Savior, not only of Jews, but of Gentiles and people from every single race. This tree will be a beautiful tree, finally, in eternity. The prophecy that Isaiah gives to the people here is looking to the New Testament age. So that we can look and we can say right now, we see We see what has developed of the coming of Jesus Christ. We see the gathering of the Gentiles. We see the many that Christ has saved and brought into His kingdom. But we stand here tonight too, and we see that Isaiah is still pointing to something that hasn't been fulfilled yet. He speaks of the glorious kingdom of God here in the last verses in this chapter that we read. Verses 6 through 9. And I'll just read verse 9. This is what will come through this living branch. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is a picture of the glory of Jesus Christ and His church and the eternal kingdom of heaven. And God, through Isaiah, is saying to the people, I didn't fail you. The promise hasn't come to nothing. Israel and Judah are cut down because all that ever was a picture, a type. Don't you see, Isaiah says to Israel, God has something far greater in mind for you than yet you will be some great earthly kingdom. God has in mind for His church. She will dwell in the glory and the perfection of heaven forever through the coming of this branch. This was a promise of God for the people of Israel in the text. It was a promise about which they could be certain. The people of Israel could see through the prophet Isaiah, this word must surely come to pass. How could the people have that certainty? Well, first of all, this was a prophecy that Isaiah made to the people of Israel and Judah long before their captivity. So that by the time they were taken into captivity by the people of Assyria, they could say, this is God's word. This is happening exactly as God said it would happen to us. And let's remember that God promises that even though now we are cut down and seem to be a dead stump, He's going to send the Savior in the line of David. This is the word of God. We too have certainty. Do you know it? Are you sure of it? Jesus Christ is coming. And we stand now and we receive this promise of God tonight with all the more certainty because so much of it has already been fulfilled. That nation of Israel that was cut down to the point of death didn't die. But she lives. She lives today in the New Testament church of Jesus Christ. That king, that son of David that God promised to send to Israel has come. He was born of the Virgin Mary, born in the line of David. And He is a king so much more glorious than David because He is the eternal king. He is the King who delivers from sin. He is the King who gives to His people life with God. We see now something that Israel and Judah must have thought would be impossible. We see that Israel was really mightier than Assyria and Babylon and all of the great world powers. Think about it. In Isaiah's day, who would have ever believed that one day Assyria would not exist? One day Babylon would not exist. And the kingdom and the church of Jesus Christ would still flourish. In Isaiah's day, the opposite looked like it would happen. Assyria would be a mighty power for many years to come. And someday the people of God would not exist. But God promised God's promise could not fail. God said to Israel and Judah, I will save my remnant. And now we exist today, the Church of Jesus Christ. Where is Assyria? Where is Babylon? Where is even that once mighty Roman Empire? They are all gone. Christ's church stands. She will stand forever. It is certain. God has promised it. Christ came. He is coming again. Amen. Father in heaven, open up our hearts that we might receive thy word, that we might be strengthened in the hope of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us for his sake and bless us in this night of fellowship that we have with each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.